Welcome to the Gun Show, where we talk about pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, concealed carry, personal defense training, and attacks on our beloved Second Amendment right to protect ourselves and our family. Folks, as always, this morning, we're going to open our phone lines to answer your firearms, ammunition, personal defense questions. But in the meantime, Dee Wampler will join us, and he's going to talk about his new book, Show Me Your Hands. Then local attorney and firearms dealer Craig Heideman will join us to talk about Nancy Pelosi trying to use the coronavirus stimulus bill to sneak in more anti-gun legislation from Bill H.R. 5717. Then I'll be closing out the show talking about low-light shooting concepts and techniques in our new low-light shooting course. Before we get to this morning's topics, I want to let you know that we're proud to have U.S. Law Shield as a sponsor for our show. They want to help us help you better protect yourself and your family. U.S. Law Shield, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. Because if you own a gun and you must defend yourself, you'll need U.S. Law Shield. When you join U.S. Law Shield, you'll have 24/7 emergency access to an attorney when you need it most. At U.S. Law Shield, you'll pay zero attorney's fees for criminal or civil proceedings, for covered events, even for appeals. U.S. Law Shield has no caps or copays. Every U.S. Law Shield member gets the best defense program in the country for only $10.95 a month. That's $10.95 a month. Go to mattkenovey.com and click on the direct link to U.S. Law Shield and sign up today. Your freedom and your family's financial future depend on it. We also want to take a moment to let you know that our next $40 CCW class is Saturday, April 25th, so the last Saturday of this month. And we also have, now that we're moving into a little bit warmer weather, today's hard to believe, but we're moving into better warmer weather, we have $50 practical handgun, rifle, active shooter, and home defense firearms courses available. Now, we've got them at these low prices because our overhead is so low, so we don't have to charge a lot to make a lot. Take advantage of what we have to offer at these low prices to better protect yourself and your family. Go to our website, mattkenovey.com, and sign up right now for any of our courses. While you're there, check out some of our free text training tips. Also, if you want to contact us, you can go to our radio show website, thegunshowradio.com, or you can contact me via email at matt@mattkenovey.com. That's matt@mattkenovey.com. And you can call or even text us this morning right here in the studio at 417-447-5743. 417-447-5743. Okay, right now we're going to get into our call for shots fired here in the Springfield metro area. This is brought to you by my very good friend, Dee Wampler and Joe Passanisi, as well as our good friends, Terry and Brenda at A-Advance Bail Bonds. Now, we're fortunate in the fact that we've only had 15 calls for shots fired this week. That's from Saturday, April 11th to Friday, April 18th. Now, that's down from what it was the week before. So we're still averaging anywhere from 15 to 20 calls for shots fired per week here in the Springfield metro area. On Saturday, we had three. First was at the 1900 block of East Elm. The second was at the 900 block of Trafficway Street. The third was the 2100 block of North Delaware Avenue. On Sunday, we had three calls for shots fired. First was East Madison Street and South Roberson Avenue. The second was South Avenue and East Grand Street. The third was at the 2500 block of Franklin Avenue. Now, praise God, on Monday, we had no calls for shots fired. On Tuesday, we had two calls. First was the 1800 block of North Douglas Avenue. The second was the 3200 block of East Gasconade Street. Then on Wednesday, we were back up. We had three calls for shots fired. First was at the South Douglas Avenue and Catopa Street intersection. The second was the 400 block of West Lawrence Street. And the third was also at the 400 block of West Lawrence Street. On Thursday, we had one call for shot fired. That was West Olive Street and North Kansas Expressway. Friday, we were back up to three calls for shots fired. First was the 1100 block of South Glen Avenue. The second was the 1300 block of South Hillcrest Avenue. And finally, the last call for shots fired last week, West Webster Street and North Kansas Expressway. Dee, you've grown up here in the Springfield metro area, and I know when I mention these streets, you can imagine in your mind exactly where they're at. It seems like these calls are from all over the Springfield Springfield city proper, not just in one location. For example, North Side. It seems like they're spreading out. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, all over Springfield. You're not safe anywhere. And Matt, even though the shots fired may be down a little bit, unfortunately, some of the shots are hitting the target. I know the local newspaper has an article today about a man named Garcia, I think his last name, he shot somebody, over 28 grams. Those are the allegations, at least. And the victim is paralyzed for the rest of his life. So you see, when a shot does hit a person, we have ramifications that's costly, not only to the victim, but to all of us that provide medical care and services. So it's a bad situation because a lot of the shots are hitting the targets.
Well, and we talked about it off mic earlier this morning, not today, and that this is all due to the increased flow of drug trafficking, either directly or indirectly. Everything stems from the illegal flow of drugs into the community coming across the southern border. The vast majority is coming across the southern border. And this is all blame. I blame the Democratic Party, Obama, during his 8 years for pulling the Border Patrol agents back off the border, open it up to get as many illegals in here, this country, so that they could vote for the Democrats and keep them in. And the byproduct for the normal citizen, or the negative byproduct, or this illegal flow of traffic of drug trafficking, which is now stemming into all the violence that we're having, not only in Springfield, but throughout the country. Now, that's my take on it with my 30 plus years of law enforcement experience. Dee, am I off base there?
No, I've only lived here 80. So you're right on. You've got it sized up properly, Matt.
Yeah, folks, it's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. Cause and effect. Now, I know, Dee, you're trying to do what you can to help people and help people understand what their rights are if, in fact, they do come in contact with law enforcement. Now, law enforcement, they're great guys and gals. They're here to help us. They're here to protect us. They do a great job. But people need to know what their rights are when they do come in contact with law enforcement. So we're going to step into a break. When we come back, Dee Wamper is going to go ahead and talk in depth about his new book, Show Me Your Hands, on what to do when you come in contact with law enforcement. So stick around through the break. I'm Matt Canovey. This is Your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I'm Matt Canovey, and I've got Dee Wamper on the line, and he's going to be talking about his new book, Show Me Your Hands, What to Do When You Come in Contact with Law Enforcement. I want to let everybody know that Dee's segment is brought to you by my very good friend, former firearm student and a great Christian business owner, Scott Estes, and his knowledgeable staff at Wildcat Tool Rental. Go to wildcattoolrental.com for all your tool rental needs. Dee, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and as you do every Saturday, and thanks so much for putting your knowledge and experience, I think it's 50 plus years of experience in the legal aspects and legal concepts and being a lawyer in this area, and using that to put together your book, Show Me Your Hands. Talk a little bit about that and how it can help our listeners.
Yeah, the listeners have been hearing about gun-free zones and gun show loopholes and how to avoid active shooters and police interrogation techniques and all these things. If you use your rights and know your rights, that's good. If you don't use your constitutional rights, you're going to lose them. And sooner or later, even the good people listening to this program may get a traffic ticket, or somebody in their family may get a traffic ticket, or worse yet, get arrested. So a little shameless pandering today. About a year ago, 2 years ago, I wrote a book called The Gun Law Handbook, and it's for sale for $20, The Gun Law Handbook. You can contact me at my office. Just go to D. Wampler, Google D. Wampler, and you'll get my address on Battlefield or my phone number. But this book, I started a year ago writing it. It's called Show Me Your Hands, which basically, if you're asked by a police officer to show your hands, show them your hands. Get your driver's license out if you're asked to do so, or your insurance papers, and show your hands, and don't do anything wrong, or you could get shot. So, you know, what do you do when a police officer approaches you? What do you do when they ring the doorbell or want to talk to you on the street? Should you take a lie detector test? Is that admissible into evidence? What about a voice stress analyzer? What's the deal on a stop and frisk? Can they really stop and question you without searching you, and then actually search you and pat you down even before you're arrested for anything? And what are the different procedures on Miranda? When do they have to advise you of your Miranda rights? And how far can they search in your car if they say, I want to see inside your car, I want to look in your trunk, I want to look in your glove box? What about the drug courier profile? What about the drug package profile? What about the marijuana grower's profile? Can they question you? I mean, you can still grow marijuana illegally, and if so, that's a major felony, could be. Can they search your trash? Can they approach your house and go through your trash cans? What should you expect from a lawyer if you talk to a lawyer and hire a lawyer? What do you do to talk your way out of a traffic ticket? Well, I've got 10 different things that you can do to talk your way out of a traffic ticket. What about talking your way into a traffic ticket? I've got 10 things, stupid things that you can say that may cause you to get a traffic ticket. Then I have a section in there on women protecting themselves, how to avoid being stalked, and how to be safe at work. And if you're a high school or a college girl, what are your rights, and what should you do if somebody is causing you trouble and you want to stay safe? So all of these things, I think you can read this book. It's a quick read. It's in color. It's got 145 photographs in it. I've got a lot of jokes in it, a lot of funny things. So it's a quick read. Now that people are... It's kind of I'm offering a China virus special. This book is $20, and that includes handling and postage. I'll be glad to mail it to you for $20. And since you're sitting around at home and you're staying safe, this is a quick, easy read, not only for yourself, but you'll find that it's good for other members in your family. And it answers all these questions that you always kind of wondered about. So, the bottom line here is be polite, be safe, don't violate the law. It's a pro-law enforcement book. I don't criticize the police in this book, but I think to be on the cutting edge of the law, it's a refresher course. A lot of the folks listening to this program, they already know their rights under the First, Second, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments. They already do. But I just remind you what our founding fathers said, what they said about your rights. You know, the law doesn't just belong to lawyers, Matt. The law belongs to everybody. So this book is probably worth $2,000. You can tell I'm just kidding you. But really, I could sell it for $200. But for your listeners, I'll make it $20, okay? And if anyone is interested in knowing what their constitutional rights are, and how far can police go in searching yourself or your home or your family, this is a good refresher book. It's good for police officers, too. And I've got a lot of funny jokes in it. I've got a lot of funny colored photographs in it. So when you read it, you can see it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek book that you're really going to enjoy. So it's called Show Me Your Hands. Show Me Your Hands. And the second book I have, I still have a few left. It's called The Gun Law Handbook. The Gun Law Handbook. So it's got some political things in there. You're pretty well going to see what my politics and political leaning is. But that's it, Matt. I just hope that folks are interested in enough to give me a call or go to D. Wampler. You'll get my address and phone number, and you can do a credit card or mail a check in. I trust you. I'll send you a book. Thanks a lot.
Well, D., thanks so much. Now, is that postage included in that fee, or is there additional postage, or just so our listeners know?
Yeah, that includes the postage and the handling. You know, Matt, I was checking the other day, this government grant is over $2 trillion, and I say some of the people in America are getting up to $1,200 a person, but if you divide $2 trillion by every citizen in America, it comes out to $7,000. And, you know, where's the rest of that money going? I mean, there's like $5,700 per person that must be spent to the government for overhead. Well, I'm just saying, I don't have that overhead. You just send me $20. And
there it is.
Okay.
Well, Dee, I thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go ahead and let you go, and we'll step into a break. On the other side, we'll be waiting for Craig Heidemann to call in, and Craig's going to talk about Nancy Pelosi trying to snake her way in, or snake her anti-gun ways into the coronavirus stimulus bill by taking some of the parts of the bill H.R. 5717, taking some parts out of that and sticking it into the stimulus bill. This wicked witch of the West has no shame in what she does. So we need to be made aware of it. Craig's going to help us do that. I'm going to step into a break. Thank Dee Wampler for joining us. Stick around through the break. I'm Matt Canovey. This is your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I have to ask Ms. Producer, is Craig Heidemann, is he online yet? All right, fantastic. Craig Heidemann is not only a local attorney, successful local attorney, but he's also a firearms dealer and a competitive shooter. He has got the insight on the legal aspects of personal defense as well as the practical aspects of using firearms in personal defense and selling them, and the aspects of legal aspects of buying and selling firearms as well. And Craig's going to join us here in just a minute. But before I actually throw the mic over to Craig, I need to let everybody know that Craig's segment is brought to you by my very good friend, once again, another firearms student, and again, a great Christian business owner, Don Carricker. And I want a great home loan. Don and his staff have a 5-star approval rating. Now, folks, I own my own business. To get a 5-star approval rating is incredibly difficult, yet they have it. Check this out. Don was really great to work with, always on top of things, and was good about keeping me informed. Really great customer service, exclamation point. That's the kind of reviews Don and his staff get. If you're looking to refinance your home, go to iwantagreathomeloan.com. That's iwantagreathomeloan.com, because you know darn good and well you do. Craig, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It looks like Nancy Pelosi is trying to use the coronavirus stimulus bill to sneak in some more anti-gun legislation with her bill H.R. 5717. Go ahead.
Well, that was the idea floated by Gun Owners of America back on the 13th of April. They sent out a release, and as everybody knows, Gun Owners of America is an active gun rights protection group, similar to the NRA and maybe a little bit more aggressive in some respects, but actually out there trying to get things done. And they floated the suggestion to get us thinking about the idea that Pelosi and Schumer, could try and use a future fourth stimulus bill opportunity to inject some of the horrible, 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 now I've said that three times for a reason, provisions of House Resolution 5717 into a fourth stimulus bill. So I spent a good deal of time trying to track down any sources on that and to fact check it. And while it certainly could be possible, it doesn't look like, first of all, there is no fourth stimulus bill that's been put together yet. They can't even agree on how much money to give or who to give it to. But it is certainly possible that we could see things put in that bill that are pork-related or that don't need to be there. Now, for those of our listeners that aren't familiar, House Resolution 5717, write that down, H.R. 5717, was introduced January 30th by Hank Johnson of Georgia, along with all the Democrats from Illinois and Massachusetts and a couple other places. Now, Pelosi is not a sponsor of H.R. 5717, but it is the mother of all gun grab bills. It truly is. They call it the Gun Violence Prevention and Community Safety Act of 2020. And it is a wholesale revision to the federal gun laws. It contains old suggestions, new suggestions on how to take away our gun rights. So get this. This is what we don't want. And this is pending. And then, oh, and by the way, there's another version that Elizabeth Warren has put forth in the Senate that we really need to keep an eye out for, too. And I'll try and find the citation to that letter, but it is very similar to 5717. Here's what you might see if 5717 were to pass. It's going to require individuals to obtain a license to purchase, acquire, or possess a firearm, or get this, Matt, ammunition. So before you take Timmy squirrel hunting, swing by the sheriff's department and get your license so you can go buy some .22 ammunition at Walmart. It's going to raise the minimum age from 18 to 21 years to purchase firearms and ammunition. It's going to establish new background check requirements for all transfers between private parties. So if your grandfather dies and you're going to inherit his shotgun, go get yourself a background check. It's going to require law enforcement agencies to be notified following a firearms-related background check denial. Now, that's important because then when your federal government computer goes haywire and wrongly denies you, they're going to report it to the police, and potentially you're going to have law enforcement officers knocking on your door, and you're going to have to reference Dee Wampler's book, Show Me Your Hands, to figure out what to do when the cops show up at your door. It also has the red flag laws that create the extreme risk protection orders to take away your guns. It's going to restrict, of course, ban all semi-automatic black rifles and high-capacity magazines. It's going to restrict making guns at home yourself that don't have serial numbers. It's going to make new gun crimes now that don't even exist, trafficking in firearms. Maybe that means if you sell two or three guns to some buddies, you're a trafficker now and you need to be put in jail again. Reference Dee's book, What to Do Then. It's going to take federally firearms licensed gun dealers like myself and make us subject to a number of different burdensome requirements. It would commission the Consumer Product Safety Commission to start studying firearms and make safety standards for firearms. That is specifically now against the law for them to do it. And then let's give away some more government money. They've got to create a community violence intervention grant program and give away some grants because we're very good at monitoring the spending of federal money. And then finally, it would also promote research on firearm safety and gun violence. It's also going to make gun owners have to store their firearms in safes of some kind and keep their firearms locked up at all times and make it a crime if you don't. So that's 5717. And then Elizabeth Warren has her own kind of mirror image version of that in the Senate. So we need to keep an eye on both of those. and make sure that when and if a fourth round of coronavirus stimulus bill is put together, that none of this gun legislation makes its way in there. Now is not the time to be trying to take November political agendas and insert it into a massive nationwide effort to get our country back on track, to get our economy open, and to protect people. So that's what I found on that, Matt. What do you think?
I tell you what, it reminds me of some gun history, because it sounds like H.R. 5717 is really the beginning of gun registration, which always leads to gun confiscation. And if you look back in 1929, the Soviet Union established gun control, and from 1929 to 1953, about 20 million dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Same thing happened in 1911, from where Turkey had established gun control and gun registration. From 15 to 17, 1.5 million of their citizens were also rounded up and terminated. In Germany, it happened in 1938. And from 38 to 45, 13 million Jews and others were unable to defend themselves. They were exterminated. China did it. Guatemala did it. Uganda did it. Cambodia did it. And this is what's happened throughout our history. And we all know that those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. So that's what I think about it, Craig, is that the more they try and take away our guns, it's all leading towards gun confiscation and total control over us. The government already controls too much of our lives, the way I look at it, giving them more control. And like you said, they messed it up so badly, especially how they spend our tax dollar, that I don't want them to have any more control over my life. They've already messed that up. Why would I want them to have any more control over my life? That's my feeling on it, Craig. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we're living in unparalleled, unprecedented times. Local governments, the federal government, they're releasing dangerous inmates, in my opinion, into society because they don't want them to be exposed to virus and germs in jail. So they're letting them out onto the streets without regard to, our rights to go out and purchase firearms. We had to go nearly to court to get the local mayors to realize that it was against state law to shut down firearms businesses in the midst of a state of emergency. They don't even know what the law is. And in fairness, the law is complicated, but it is the law. It matters. Facts matter. And when you've got these elected officials, some of which who just weren't very good in their jobs in the private sector, so they got on the public dole, and got elected, they just don't take time to understand the interplay between our freedoms and what they think is good for the public. And it's scary times.
Well, Craig, let me jump in here. And I understand what you're saying about you elect somebody and maybe they don't know all the intricacies of the laws. And they are complicated. I mean, there is a lot of legalese, and you've got to have a background in it to understand it. But before they put forth this kind of legislation, they have people on their staff, or they have people they can go to ask them to give them that interpretation. So that's what always bugs me is, why don't they take the time to go to that person and say, hey, before I actually propose this, take a look at what I'm thinking about proposing. Can we really do it? Why can't we do it? And then explain out. So sometimes I actually think that they're showing their real inner desire to take away our freedom. It's not a mistake because things are too complicated. They have people they can go to get this clarified before they actually try and put it in place. Am I mistaken on that?
No, you just hit the nail on the head. Now, here's how it works in Jefferson City. So when I got out of law school, if you were good and did well in law school, you would apply for and you might get a job in legislative research in Jefferson City. And there's House research and Senate research. And those were brand new lawyers, brand new, probably you know, less than 6 months with a law license. And they are the ones that write the legislation. So a senator or a representative say, you know what, I want a law that allows us to hunt elk, or I want a law that doesn't allow us to give money to the Department of Conservation. These brand new lawyers with very little real world legal experience are the ones that draft this legislation. And that's why some of our laws are, in my opinion, kind of in need of improvement, because they've got these folks in Senate research and House research drafting them that just don't have the experience that they need to. Now, in fairness, there are other folks that have been around a lot longer that still work there. But it's that's how the sausage is made in Jefferson City. That's
wow.
Who stuffs the sausage.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly a good way to put it. Craig, I'm going to ask you to stick around through the break because we're going to talk about low-light shooting, and I know you're a competitive shooter. You've done a lot of shooting. Give some input to our listeners about a course that we're now putting together, and it's a low-light shooting course. I think everybody who owns a gun ought to have it. So stick around through the break with us. Folks, I'm Matt Canobi. This is Your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. We're into the last segment of the show, and this segment is always brought to you by our very good friends at U.S. Law Shield. Remember, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. Folks, a lot of people get a firearm, and they go through a concealed carry class, and they think that they have enough training now to defend themselves. They really do not. Let's cut right to the chase. I've got Craig Heideman on the line. He's an attorney. He's also a competitive shooter, a gun dealer, even a gun manufacturer. And I'm sure he'll agree that training never stops. Just because you've taken one course doesn't mean you've got enough courses. Training constantly continues and builds on previous training. I continue to go to training. I seek out training, go to more training. Everybody needs to continue their training. Now, you have to look at what training do you need? Well, one of the things that we saw that people needed was a low-light shooting or a flashlight and low-light shooting course. So we put one together. Now, we've got a 40-acre facility. We've got it set up for nighttime shooting. Most people don't realize that, according to the FBI, 40 to 50% of all police shootings over the last 50 years occur during dark time hours or low light conditions. We're going to teach you how to use low light shooting and dark time shooting survival techniques in our 4-hour course. We're going to teach you how to use a flashlight, how to use low light handgun techniques. It's going to enable you to get quick, accurate shots on target, allow you to get multiple accurate shots on multiple assailants, and it's going to show you how to use the flashlight with a concept known as light on the target, light behind the target, and how to use ambient light, as well as much more. Now, a couple of things you need to understand. Let's put it in practical application. Most people think, well, look, I don't really need a course until they actually realize or give an example of why they need the course. Most people are buying a gun for personal defense. Most people are concerned somebody's going to break in my home, hurt my wife, my children, my family. I want to defend them. I want to defend them and myself. So they get a gun. Now, just like law enforcement, 40 to 50% of the time, it's going to be during dark time hours or low light conditions. Why would it be any different? Do you have the training in shooting the gun in low light? That means you can't see your sights. Or you have to use your flashlight to identify the threat, make sure the threat is a viable legal threat, and then use the flashlight to engage your firearm and eliminate the threat. Now, all of this can be very complicated if you don't have the training. And if you don't have the right training, it can be even more complicated. So the training has to be so simple that you can apply it. Now, there's a lot of people that, and I'll throw this over to Craig for a minute, a lot of people want to put a flashlight on their firearm. Now, I'm not a big fan of that, Craig, because couple of reasons. Number one, I believe it violates the rules for gun safety. Okay, by that I mean people are who don't have the training, they put a flashlight on their firearm, and then they use the flashlight as an illumination tool going through their house. So now they've got a flashlight right underneath the barrel of the gun, and they're pointing the barrel of a loaded gun at everything and everybody in front of them. So they're really not treating the gun as though it's loaded. They're not pointing it in a safe direction. I prefer to have a separate flashlight. That way you can keep the gun pointed in a safe direction and keep make sure that you're treating it as though it's loaded, pointed in a safe direction until you really need it. What do you think?
I think that the weapons-mounted light solution, it has its place. It certainly does. But I think too often it's a crutch for people that don't want to go out and get the training. They think, well, I'll just, I bought the Glock with the rail on the front. I'll throw a cheapo light on it, and then I'll have my light in case I need it, not thinking it through. So the old adage, you don't know what you don't know, applies, and they don't know any other alternatives. You know, even in the world of flashlight techniques with pistols, a lot of people don't realize there's probably at least four, maybe even more flashlight techniques for concealed carry, how to use the flashlight. There's, you know, the surefire method, the FBI method, the Harry's technique, the neck index method. You don't know which one's right for you because you haven't trained with anybody that would be qualified to teach you those techniques. So I think it could be a crutch either, that people use because they don't want to take the time to learn more.
Well, that's it. I look at it like a placebo. It makes them feel like they're doing something good when they're really not. And that's why we offer a four-stage program, and it's a four-hour course. It's just basically giving you the concepts. We first start off with dry fire techniques. We show you how to use the flashlight on target, flashlight light behind the target, how to use ambient light. Then we go ahead and we do dry fire techniques in the classroom under safe conditions so that you can actually see what it's like if you've got no lights on in a room, how the flashlight can be used to illuminate, how the flashlight you can also be used to prevent the bad guy from actually seeing where you are. You scan it across the floor, not directly forward where people can look and see the flashlight and fire towards the flashlight, which has happened. So we do classroom. We teach you the techniques, the concepts and techniques, and we actually have you do dry fire, utilizing it in a dark room. Then we actually go out to the range and you do live fire. So once you've got the concept down in a dry fire scenario, then we take you out to the range. You do tactical flashlight hold with the firearm. You're going to shoot multiple shots, multiple targets. We're going to also kind of deal with the shoot, don't shoot application. And it's a simple course, only requires 4 hours of your time. It's $50. Now, why do I charge just $50? I could charge 10 times more, but I do it simply because our overhead is so low, I can pass my savings on to you. I don't need to charge a lot to make a lot to still cover my overhead and take care of myself and my family. I'm passing that on to you. Go to our website right now, mattkenovi.com. Check out the course description for our low-light shooting, our flashlight and low-light shooting handgun course. Sign up now. Check into your schedule. We usually have it on Saturdays or Sundays after church, so don't take it. Don't put it off any longer. Your family's safety, your safety definitely depend on it. Craig, thanks so much for sticking around. Thanks so much for all you bring to the show. Folks, we're down to the last 30 seconds or so. I want to take a moment to thank our producer for everything she does behind the scenes. I want to go ahead and always thank Dee Wampler, Craig Heidemann. And before I let you go, I do want to go ahead and back up for a second. And that is, we offer additional courses at our range. And then let me take a moment to expound on it a little bit. The courses we offer, a lot of people look at them and say, Matt, how can you actually teach somebody to do something in 4 hours? Most courses require weeks, a week-long worth of training or several days worth of training. Now, if you can go and afford these other courses that take more time and cost more money, please do so. They're great. They're good. Training is a good thing. The problem is most people in this area, they don't have the time to spend to go to these multiple-day courses, and they don't have the money. That's why we charge so low for our courses, so we make it applicable and affordable for the average guy and gal. So don't think, well, the course is only $50. It can't be a very good course. It is it's a top-of-the-line course. I'm a tactical firearm instructor, certified by the FBI as a police firearms instructor, certified by the NRA in five of their disciplines, a competitive shooter. I won the Missouri Police Olympic gold medal for competitive tactical shooting, so I can do all that stuff. I just realized that the average guy and gal can't afford some of these courses that are offered because they take too long. They can't be away from work that long. Also, they can't afford it because it just costs too darn much. Take advantage of our low-life courses so that we can help you better protect yourself and your family. Go to our website right now, mattkenobi.com. Check out all of our courses. I want to now go ahead, back up, and thank our producer. I need to thank Craig Heidemann. I need to thank Dee Wampler. And I need to thank our callers and our listeners for making this show the number one talk radio show for this time slot. I'm Matt Kenobi. This is your gun show, because we really are here to help you stay safe out there. So stay tuned.